Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a mother-daughter knitting production. This is episode 54 and has been sponsored by Abstract Fiber, Pearlescence Yarns, and Verena Knitting. This week's segments include On the Needles,
Bring it on, Mother Knows Best,
Events,
and Straw into Gold.
Come on, let's chat. Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the podcast. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We have some very exciting news this week. We wanted to start off the podcast by congratulating Tika of Gives Good Knit for graduating college.
Yay, Tika!
So go over and give her a listen and also congratulate her on graduating. We'll put a link in the show notes along with everything else we talk about in this week's episode so you can congratulate her yourself. But first, a word from our sponsors. This week on The Needles is proudly sponsored by Verena Knitting. Verena Knitting's website is not only a destination for bonus patterns and exclusive subscriber content. Now available through Verena's website, purchase hard-to-find yarns as seen in each issue of Verena Knitting. Come on over and visit our newly open yarn shop at verenaknitting.com and see what we have to offer. And if you have not yet subscribed, all new subscribers receive a free gift from Ukulele as our way of saying thanks for supporting Verena Knitting. Awesome. Let's get into some knitting talk. What are you working on this week, Mom?
Well, I finished some stuff.
Hooray!
Well, is it finished? I was also thinking, when is it really finished?
I think it's really finished when you wear it, when you can wear it.
Okay, then I'm working. It's not totally finished. I'm thinking maybe it's finished when I've managed to post pictures on Ravelry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel so guilty talking about stuff and not having pictures to show.
Me too. I think tomorrow, since tomorrow is the Memorial Day holiday, we should take pictures while it's nice and sunny outside in our knitwear and update our Ravelry. I think that's a good plan.
That's a very good plan.
Yeah. It's a nice way of cataloging all your finished stuff anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, so awesome. So what have you finished, sort of, since you haven't posted it in Ravelry yet?
I finished knitting Carly.
Yay!
Yesterday. It's lovely. I did the Lucy Neatby bind off on the collar. It's a very wide collar, and I didn't want it to pull in, so I picked up extra stitches while I bound off.
Yeah.
And so there is no way the collar is going to pull in and look bad. So
yeah.
I think it's a very good finish for that particular collar especially.
Nice.
I still have a few ends to weave in.
But?
I'll do that in front of the TV tonight.
Yeah.
And then it will be done.
Excellent.
And we have the pins from Romy.
Yay! That are gorgeous. And I'll link to everything that we're talking about in the show notes in case you want to have the same closures we do.
Your Carly isn't done yet.
No.
Maybe we can take pictures of me wearing my Carly with both of the pins.
That was the plan, anyway. I have to block my sleeves still for my Katarina and knit the enormous, enormous collar and the cuffs, and then that should be done. But I just have to get my sleeves blocked. I have to get everything together, but I'll talk about why I haven't blocked it later. I have been working on some knitting as well. Part of why I haven't been blocking, I've been knitting a bit. So the weather's been really, really lovely outside, and it seems that in the summertime, I like to knit lace. It seems. So I have been plugging away at my wool peddler's shawl, and I am halfway done with the edging, the lace, the lacy bit, which I'm really excited about because I'm enjoying knitting it, and it's kind of inspiring me to pick up a couple of the other triangular shawls that I've abandoned. So part of the reason why I don't like to knit triangular shawls in general is because, I know, and Mom is laughing her head off, is because every row is longer than the last one.
Yeah.
And you can't gauge, really. I mean, I could do some math with a spreadsheet, I suppose, and figure out how long each, you know, each subsequent row is going to be. But it feels like the rows grow by orders of, you know, by exponential orders, not just a couple of stitches every row. So
why do you need to have a time measurement?
Because if you say one more row and that one more row takes an hour,
So you time one row, and then you say, okay, one row plus a smidge.
Yeah, well, you know, I figured I can do a more exact mathematic formula. I know we learned how to do this stuff in college. I just have to think about it. But anyway, I typically don't like to do those, especially in public, because it's harder and harder to gauge how long every row is going to take or how much more you have until the end of the row. And as I proved yesterday at the knitting group, where I put down my shawl mid-row and went to answer the phone and promptly yanked my needle out of half a dozen stitches, fortunately not in a critical area.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked it up pretty easily, which was wonderful. But, you know, you never know when something's going to happen and you're going to have to drop your knitting and run.
That was when knitting didn't attack, correct?
It didn't. This week we actually don't have a when knitting attacks because, well, we don't. So sorry. You'll have to wait for some knitting disasters next week, I'm sure. I'm sure we'll have plenty now that we've feel like knocking on wood, but it'll be really loud with the mics. Knock on my head. So yeah, my wool peddler shawl should be done pretty soon. I think I'm going to use garnets in the edging.
That was the shawl that you wanted to pick up beads for today?
Yeah, and I keep forgetting it. And the thing about knitting with beads is you have to have your knitting with you or your yarn with you to match the color. Even if you have good color memory, it's always a better idea to have it with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm checking it more because I think the garnets will work nicely on it, but I'm checking it more for the diameter of the holes in the beads to make sure that the yarn isn't too big to go through the beads. So, but I haven't done it yet because I keep forgetting the shawl. So I'm really enjoying knitting that. I'm actually knitting a variation on the wool peddler's shawl. It's not exactly as the pattern's written. The pattern is written for a worsted weight yarn on, I think, size 7 needles.
Mm-hmm.
And the body of it is done in garter stitch. I've changed the garter to stockinette. I've changed the yarn to a fingering weight, and I am doing it on a size 6 needle. So those are the changes I have made to that pattern, and I think it's coming out really nicely. It looks a lot more like the Ishbel shawl by Isolde Teague than the wool peddler shawl, but that's kind of more the look I'm going for than a really, really heavy shawl. So,
Very good.
What are you working on besides finishing your Carly?
I also set in the sleeves into the Marta.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to weave in ends and do the collar band.
Cool.
And sew down the facing. So that has a little bit of work left that I probably will start on tonight. And another thing that's almost finished are the Par 5 cable socks out of the Malabrigo that we're reviewing.
We reviewed a while ago.
Yes. Well, it's still lovely.
It is.
And I frogged your sock today.
My Malabrigo sock has had 3 different incarnations because sometimes I'm prettier than I am smart.
I think you're doing it on purpose because you like knitting with it so much.
I do like knitting with it quite a bit. I just need to pre-plan my knitting a bit better than I have been. So, yeah, whatever.
I'm thinking getting more mileage out of the same ball of yarn is a very clever strategy.
For economizing on yarn? I suppose. If I didn't have a room full of yarn, that would be a good idea. However, I have enough yarn to keep me knitting through the apocalypse, I think. So I don't need to be re-knitting the same sock 4 times, really, really. But anyway, I'm also working on my Erin Pocket shawl, which is the one I'm doing out of that pale blue cashmere. Mm-hmm. It's coming along nicely. It's in that awful place that sometimes wraps get to where you're knitting in the black hole, where it's in the rip in the space-time knitting continuum of, So it's growing slowly. I'm mostly working on that at Knitting Group on Saturdays because it's pretty, you can see where you are, and that's nice. I like things that you can feel and see and all that good stuff. Are you working on anything else?
Yes, actually I am.
Yay!
The riverbed, The riverbed sock from Cat Bordy.
Yeah.
Out of the Macbeth from Abstract Fiber.
Yay!
And this is so my colorway.
It is. It's charcoal gray and like an ivory and a blue-red.
And a little bit of black, too.
Oh, okay. I can't see the black from here, but it's stunning.
Yeah.
It's lovely. I'm working on my show notes sock, which is the abstract in the Newport colorway, which is definitely my colors. It's teals and purples and fuchsias and royal blue with spots of white, and I really, really like it, actually.
It's very pretty.
I'm looking forward to wearing these. Unfortunately, my show notes socks tend to take forever, it seems, because I only knit on these. They sit next to our recording equipment, and I only knit on them while we're recording. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to make better progress on them, though. What else are you working on?
I'm blocking things. I've gone on a blocking binge, and I've got things that have been sitting in my UFO bin, I think, for 3 years now.
I think that's adequately aged for blocking.
Yes. So the next thing that I've pulled out, and I put it on my blocking board, and it's being currently blocked, is the chic pulley out of the Venezia in the deep, rich purple.
Cool.
The eggplanty purple. Yeah, so... And that's going to be done, too.
Nice.
Now that the weather is nice and warm.
Perfect time for a wool and silk sweater, I say.
Yeah.
It still gets chilly at work. I actually am thinking about all this knitting on my Shetland triangle has made me think maybe I should go back and excavate a couple of the triangular shawls out of my UFO bins in my office. Because I'm really enjoying it, despite the fact that the rows are getting longer and longer and longer and longer. Mm-hmm. Because I have an Icarus by Miriam Felton, which has been marinating. And I've got an Adama shawl by Miriam Felton, I think, also marinating. So, and I really like her stuff. I should finish them because I wear my Juno all the time, and I knit that in like 2 weeks. So I should just power through them.
My Icarus is done.
Needs to be blocked.
Waiting to be blocked. Yep. That's right.
You were talking about starting something new. Or wanting to start something new.
I looked at the...
The new Verena.
The new Verena, the summer
edition. Is that summer or is that spring? We just got it.
Oh, sorry. It's spring.
Yeah. It's okay.
So,
and... We both looked through it, and I got to practice my German.
Du tell.
Das ist sehr europäisch.
Very good.
Which, for the non-German-speaking audience, and for the German-speaking audience, since I'm sure I mangled that thoroughly, it's very European.
Yes.
It's very young. It's not full of stuff I would necessarily wear to work, but it's some cute stuff. Mom and I both found something that we both really like, and I'm really excited about it because we had someone ask on the Ravelry board what... They could knit out of the test ribbon besides the test patterns because they have great patterns that go with their ribbon. And we found something that's perfect.
It's a shell. And it's called Waterfall. And it has a drapey cowl edge.
It's lovely. Now, it doesn't look like anything in the magazine.
No, because they put it on... The model is wearing it over a long sleeve and short sleeve top. So she has two tops on, and it is wearing this lovely shell on top of it.
Which is weird, and I have more to say about layering in photos under shells, but this top has a lot of potential, and I believe it has shaping, I looked at the diagram, which is flattering, and it's got that beautiful cowly collar, which will be fantastic in the ribbon.
And it's also long enough, so even if you bend over...
You won't be flashing midriff, which is awesome, and I'm so excited. And my whole theory about buying books or buying magazines is if there's one pattern that I want to knit in a magazine, it's worth the cost of a magazine. Verena's, what, $6 an issue? $7 an issue? That's what you'll pay for one single pattern, and you get all the extra stuff because Verena gives you, like, 80,000 extra things. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about that. The other thing I was excited about knitting is the Alita shell out of ribbon. This is another ribbon one because I was surfing Ravelry, like you do, and I also read Bonmarie Burns' blog
over at her stuff.
Chic Knits. Yeah, and she's been knitting the Sandrine sweater, which I'm dying to get the pattern for and make because I think it would be so flattering. I was just out of reach. And I happened to see a shell that looked like Sandrine without the sleeves, basically. And this is the Alita shell from Spring 2008 Interweave Knits. And the Spring Interweave Knits is the one with the awful yellow cardigan on the cover. I don't know what the wardrobe choices are beyond me. This is not how I would dress people who were in knits. But anyway, I'm not an editor, so I don't get to decide. Anyway.
You're lacking fashion sense.
I do. I do lack fashion sense. So sad. But the Alita shell, again, doesn't look like anything in the magazine because they put it over a dress shirt. And I think, isn't the difference between a shell and a vest whether you wear a shirt under it or not? Like, a shell is a shirt, basically, like a tank top, and a vest you wear over shirts, I think. But anyway, enough snark for me. I think it's lovely. It's very flattering. This has some waist shaping built into the garment, which is lovely. You knit it in the round, and the fronts overlap. And I think this would also be really lovely in ribbon, because it's got drape, it's got shape, it's got interest to it, and it's going to be flattering. So if you happen to be like me and you're not super well endowed as far as your bust is concerned, this will be really flattering. And I think if you're busty, this will be good too.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a full back, so you can wear it with regular support garments and you don't have to wear anything funny or uncomfortable. And I think it'll be lovely. So I'm excited about knitting that. I actually was digging through my office looking for something entirely different, and I tripped across this issue, which I knew I was going to be looking for because I looked in Ravelry to see if I had it. And I do have this issue, so I dug it out. And it's been sitting open, inspiring me, waiting for me to wind the ribbon and cast it on. So Mom and I will be knitting ribbon shells this summer.
One of our criteria for picking patterns is also where to wear it.
Yeah, that's true.
And considering how many hours we spend at work...
Mm-hmm.
Something that we knit should be able to be worn to work.
And not everything can be. And Mom and I, we've said it before, we work in very different environments. Mm-hmm. I work in a shoes optional office, and she works in an office that dresses like East Coast business attire. And so it's very different. Like, I can wear all my ribbon shells to work because I'm allowed to have exposed arms. Mom isn't, but she can wear vests over dress shirts and things like that. So having said that, I'm really excited about it.
So we're thinking that we can knit both of these and be able to wear them to work.
That's the hope.
Me with a coat over.
Mm-hmm.
And you.
As I am.
As you are.
Yeah, I think that's going to be exciting mm-hmm. and fun. Are you working on anything else?
Nope.
Awesome. I think we should move on to the next segment.
We should.
And now a quick word from our sponsors. At Abstract Fiber, the beautiful weather has inspired a burst of new colors. We've been busy in the dye studio designing yarns based on the color of roses, including rosy pinks, deep dark reds, and hot tropicals, too. We've also got a new deep green, a brown, and a foggy gray. For spinners, we're dyeing an irresistibly soft blend of yak and merino, and we'll soon have pure silk for summer spinning. As always, Abstract Fiber offers free domestic shipping on orders over $100. Come see all the new colors at abstractfiber.com. You brought it.
We got it.
And now it's time to bring it on. This week for Bring It On, you guys asked about organizing stash and UFOs and all that stuff. And I've been going through an organization spree is really the best way of talking about it. Mom's been helping.
Binge? Yeah.
It feels more cereal than that. I got some of the comforter bags that Asia from the Sock Prawn blog talked about on her blog a few weeks back. And what I did is I bagged up all my clean fleeces. So as you might or might not know, I don't process my own fleeces. So I'll buy raw fleeces at an auction or from a breeder. And I will send it to Sherry from Moro Fleece Works. And she'll send it back to me as beautiful, clean, pin-drafted roving. I mean, it's just stunning. So what I was doing is putting two or three different fleeces in the same big, big, big Ziploc bag and mm-hmm. putting them up on my shelves. Well, I saw Asia's comforter bags, and I thought, that is a better system.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I separated my fleeces out by fleece. Mm-hmm. I put one fleece per bag. I have an index card, that I write in great big bold letters what the sheep's name is, what the breed is, and if I know the breeder or it's from an auction lot, I'll put that on there. Basically, I put all the information I have about the fleece on there,
mm-hmm.
facing out. The nice thing about these comforter bags is that they stack square.
Mm-hmm.
So they stack really, really well. So I'm able to put six fleeces where I could only put like three before, which is amazing.
Because the Ziploc bags don't have square corners and there is lost storage space?
There is, because they don't stack real well because they slide too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. So that was phase one. which was a couple of weeks ago. Phase two was going in and taking some of my yarn that has been more recently acquired, so I would say like in the last year or two, and dividing it up by dyers. So I'd have a bag of Lisa Susie yarn, I'd have yarn and fiber. I'd have a bag of abstract yarn. I'd have a bag of pigeon roof. I'd have a bag of blah, 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 whoever the dyer is.
Tess
was one of the bags I put up the other night. So this way, when I'm looking for something specific by a specific dyer, I can just go into my stash and pull down the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited because I went through and I was digging through stuff and looking at things and I was like, oh, I forgot I bought this. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy. So that's what I've been doing to organize.
You know what your phase four is going to be?
What?
Coming over and organizing your fabric stash at my house.
For the record, I don't have a fabric stash. Mom has a fabric stash of fabric that she's gotten for me.
Yes. That's so your fabric.
Fabric for me, not fabric.
Stash.
That I've stashed. No, and so that's just one way of organizing your yarn and stuff. And I find these, the comforter bags, which I'll link to in the show notes along with everything else we've talked about, I think they're really, really fantastic, and they're not very expensive, and the shipping isn't bad either. I think mm-hmm. it was like, I think I got mine on sale, and I paid $7 and change for a dozen of these, and I got three sets because you buy them by the dozen, so I spent $23 or $24 total, including shipping, for 36 bags, which was awesome.
Yes, it is.
And I think they have a the more you buy, the less you pay thing. But I'm not buying in bulk at this point. So I just think they're really, really fantastic. They've got fabric-y sides, and they're square, and they've got zippers, and they're clear vinyl. And I just think they're the cat's meow. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about that because it's making my office more workable, and it's a lot easier to go in and grab what I'm looking for. So very exciting.
Yeah, and I'm thinking it's going to work very well for fabric, too.
It probably will. The fabric bags will be heavier than the yarn bags, though, because fabric is surprisingly heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's this week's Bring It On. We'll be answering your questions and feedback. So continue to toss in your suggestions for this segment in the thread in the Ravelry group, which, again, will be linked to in the show notes. And now a quick word from our sponsors.
There's nothing like a lightweight shawl for those cool summer evenings or to top a little dress for a dressy occasion. Silk is our lace weight yarn of choice for summer shawls at Pearlescence Yarns. We carry a beautiful selection of hand-dyed silk lace yarn from Blue Moon Fiber Arts and Claudia hand-painted yarns, as well as wool, alpaca, and cashmere lace blends. You're sure to find the perfect yarn for your summer shawl.
And now, because we all knew it, Mother knows best.
So we've been talking about why it's been taking so long to get things blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it taking so long to get things blocked?
It could be a commitment problem. We lose our commitment to a project right at the end.
That's
because
not
it loses
it.
Interest. It
That's
could be,
so not it.
It could be because we're process knitters.
No.
No?
No.
What is it?
I think it's because trying to find a place to set up a blocking board and keep it for 24 hours seems to be the hardest part of blocking.
It is. A lot of people have pets or mm-hmm. children or spouses who insist on getting underfoot.
So I was looking at how I have my blocking board set up,
mm-hmm.
and mine doesn't need to be removed at this time.
Uh-huh. Because you don't have animals walking around your house or small children or a pesky husband who bothers your knitting. Your
and
pesky husband leaves everything alone.
I don't need to have the dining room table available for dinner either.
No, because you can eat here if your dining room table's covered.
Or we can eat at the kitchen table.
Either way.
So, but the problem seems to be the place to set up and leave the stuff to block.
Very true.
So another thing that works really well, in my mind, is if you have a dedicated cutting board from the fabric store, one of those thingies that fold up, you can put that up,
mm-hmm.
block your stuff on it, and it has grid marks.
Yeah.
So you can block it exactly to measure. Pin into the surface. Now, the steam probably will warp the cardboard.
It's cardboard, yeah.
But
you can't wet block on that because the cardboard will melt.
No, you can't wet block on it because I'm sure the cardboard will warp.
Yeah.
What you can do is put your...
knitter's blocks on there.
Your knitter's blocks on it. And that way, you pin it out, and then you can pick up the whole thing and store it somewhere.
If you pin your knitter's blocks down.
Until dinner is done, and then put it back on the dining room table overnight.
That's a good idea. You'd have to pin down your knitter's blocks, though.
Yeah.
Like, pin them to the cardboard, but that's a good idea.
It's really thick cardboard, and you can pin into it.
Yeah.
Well, it's corrugated cardboard on top, and there's paper on top.
But it'll still take nicely,
yeah.
I think. That's cool.
What
a great idea.
I think that will work very well.
Yeah. You'll have to let us know how that works when you're wet blocking your Icarus on the knitter's blocks.
Yeah, because I'm thinking if you wet block on the cardboard directly, it'll warp.
Yeah.
I don't know how steaming on it will work. I could try that.
You should. You should try it and let us know.
I absolutely should.
Yeah. I tend to just wet block on my table, and I use my knitter's blocks on my great big long IKEA kitchen table, but...
But I think that will work better, too, if you pin it down, because the knitter's blocks are...
They're a bit wavy.
Wavy.
Yeah, that's why I haven't been storing them in the bags they come in. They come in these orange or blue bags, and... They bend,
yes.
So they end up being arced, which isn't ideal, and you think the knitter's blocks should be flat, and so I put a weight on top of them, and they are sitting on a shelf flattened with a weight on top of them to kind of give them new memory, so they don't have that weird arc in the middle, but they'll sit flat, so I'm hoping that having them resting with the weight on them will help fix it.
The next time you want to block something, I'll bring a blocking board over, and we can pin your knitting blocks into my surface.
And see how it works.
And then we can also figure out how movable things are.
That's an excellent idea. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. This week, Mother Knows Best about blocking. Alrighty, let's talk about some upcoming events.
Yes!
This is the best season of the year. Okay, so, in order, we will be at Retzlaff for the spinning day at the Retzlaff Winery. That's on Saturday, June 6th. Mom and I will both be in attendance. I have fierce pink hair.
And I'm always close by.
Exactly. We'll be there. I think it's a $5 entry fee donation thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cash, please. I would also bring a checkbook, as not all the vendors take credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And there's excellent wine, so bring a designated driver if you like to drink. And your spinning wheel, of course.
And if you don't like to drink?
Be the designated driver.
And if you don't like to spin?
Bring your knitting. Exactly. Nobody will kick you out. There's also a potluck thing, so bring a dish to share. And I like to label my stuff so that anybody with dietary issues will know that it's safe. Other than that, Worldwide Knit in Public Day. I mentioned last time that Mom and I are splitting Worldwide Knit in Public Day.
That's the first time in years.
It is, but it's for a good reason. Sam is graduating, so Mom will be in Los Angeles on Worldwide Knit in Public Day. And details on that will be pending as soon as we can nail down a confirmation from Dr. Gemma.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! And I will be at Santana Row in the center strip between Cohiba, which is the cigar shop, and Sunglasses on the Row, which is the sunglass shop. So there's a nice little strip with shade and chairs. If you have a foldable chair, bring it with you. There's never enough chairs, and I always bring my own. So there's food and beverages available, and I will probably bring extra sunscreen, just for safety. Other than that, our next exciting event that we will be attending is the Sock Summit. That's August 6th through 9th in Portland, Oregon, and I believe that registration is coming up very, very soon. So keep your eyes peeled, and I will post all the details on all our everything. Mom and I are staying at the...
Marriott?
The Marriott Courtyard in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're staying. If you want to stay there and you run into us, do say hello. And yeah, we're really excited about this.
And maybe we should get suggestions from local Portlanders as to what else we want to do in Portland.
That's a great idea.
Because the last time I was in Portland... Mm-hmm. I managed to see an exhibit of the terracotta figures of the Qin Emperor.
Cool.
Oh, it was amazing.
Portlanders, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is send us awesome stuff to do. And you can email them to us, and I'll give you all the details in the show notes at the end of this week's episode. But we are so excited. We're going to do a meet and greet there, and we're going to have goodie bags again, and it's going to be wicked, wicked fun. So do plan on being there. We'll hammer out the details on when and where we're doing the meet and greet. We're trying to find a central time that's good and not too busy, and we'll be in our sponsors' booths. So, yeah, and you don't have to wait until the meet and greet to come and say hello, but you do have to wait until the meet and greet to get your baggie. So, yay, just like at Stitches, and I hope to meet a whole bunch more of you guys. I'm so excited. It was so fun meeting you guys at Stitches.
It was absolutely amazing.
We have to figure out what we're going to wear.
Knits.
Of course. But yeah, so those are our events. As we've got events upcoming, we'll keep you posted. Yay! This week's Drawn to Gold has a family story in it, a little bit, and then some spinning and some other stuff. So yeah, listen up. This week I got the last of my fleeces from Boonville, which was the thing we went to last September, and I got, I think, 4 fleeces in that box. I got a couple from Merry Meadows, which are beautiful. And they are beautiful because they are colored fleeces, which I happen to prefer to white fleeces, only because I think they're more interesting and they're so much fun to spin. And they have names, and I like it when my sheep have names. One of the fleeces I got was a silver gray Merino cross from Jean Near, and she breeds these beautiful, beautiful sheep that I think they're Merinos crossed with something else, something shiny and long, but it's not brittle, and I have to actually look into my paperwork, but I'm spinning the fleece from a sheep named Duchess, and the fleece itself was super clean when I bought it because she coats her sheep, and there's very little veggie matter at all, and the color is just phenomenal. So you look at it, and it's a gray, it's a pale gray, and then you spin it, and it's like a blue gray, as opposed to a brown gray, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm really enjoying spinning it. I've spun a little over an ounce, because I got it the other night, and I started spinning it right away, because sometimes when you get a cleaned fleece, you just have to spin. And I'm so excited to be spinning it, and it's just beautiful, and it's going to have a good hand. And I think I got like 4.5 or 4¾ pounds of this fleece, so Andrew and I might end up with matching sweaters or something. That's really ambitious, I know. But sometimes, it's good to be ambitious. But when the fleeces came in, my father, Mr. Knitmore, came over, what?
Mr. Knitmore,
came over while Andrew was working late, and he saw me hauling in a box of fleece off the stoop. And he came in to give me a hand, and he was curious to know what was in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing that's always in the box. It's always wool. So I pulled it out, and he was telling me, he's like, you know, I told my friend who raises sheep that he should put jackets on his fleeces, because you said that a fleece with a jacket, if you put jackets on your sheep, if you put clothes on your sheep, then their fleeces will sell more. And I told him, you have to dress your sheep. My daughter's an expert, and she knows what she's talking about. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, his friends probably think I'm a lunatic. Because the way he said it sounded like I had instructed them to put trousers on their sheep, you know?
Pink hair, dress sheep, of course you're a lunatic.
I just thought that was hilarious. And I smiled and nodded, and I was like, you know, it's nice that my father has dubbed me an expert. This is really a testament to how well-loved I am. So for your enjoyment, dress your sheep. Their fleeces will sell for more. I just thought that was funny. I had to hold back my laughter, because the first thing I thought is, oh, you know, so yeah, got my fleeces. That was exciting. I started plying some stuff. I spun up the abstract cashmere and silk a few weeks back, which I talked about, and I actually got it plied, or I started plying it, and I just have a little bit of the end to ply, and I started to notice that I'm having some woolly winder problems. Now, a woolly winder is a contraption that you buy from a third party, and the woolly winder people make them, and the way they work is like a fishing reel where it fills up and down and up and down, so you don't have to move your hooks. Now, I don't care for it for spinning, because I tend to spin, like you hear, every single week fine and tight, and I don't really like, because occasionally the woolly winder will kind of get off track, mm-hmm. and you have to give it just a tug to get it to reset itself on the track or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't like doing that if I'm spinning, fine, but I love it for plying. I think it is the best plying tool ever because you just go and you ply and you just focus on keeping your separate plies straight and tidy and not kinked and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the coolest thing ever. So I noticed that it was having some problems, and I was having to yank on it a lot. Now, when you buy a woolly winder, it comes with a bobbin and a baggie with directions on how to disassemble, reassemble, and clean the woolly winder, along with a little bitty tool, which I think is like a really tiny Allen wrench. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I could not find mine, because since I bought my woolly winder, we have moved. And despite being an organized person in general, sometimes life happens and things fall through the cracks. So I'm putting a call out. If you have a woolly winder for a shacked matchless, if you would be kind enough to either scan and email me the directions on how to disassemble and reassemble it. I think Andrew may have gotten it with his toolbox, but the Allen wrench wasn't there. So I have contacted Nathan from the Woolly Winder Company, and we will see how they respond. But in the meantime, I really want to finish plying Tallulah so I can get her cast on. So that is my straw into gold this week. Hopefully, when Sandy is done recovering from her knee surgery, we will get her on to talk about selecting fleeces. So that should be very exciting. Stay tuned. This week, we'd like to thank show sponsors Abstract Fibers, Pearlescence Yarns, Verena Knitting, our supporters, and most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything we've discussed in this week's episode can be found at the show notes page, which is located at knitmoregirls.blogspot.com, and you can send any comments, questions, feedback, adoration to knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. You can also find a link to our Ravelry group in our show notes. If you like our podcast, tell a friend, and if you'd like to tell someone you don't know, write us a review in iTunes. To all our U.S. listeners, have a happy Memorial Day. And remember, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.